Welcome to the Humanize podcast, all about personalizing your health. I am your host, Rebecca Kelly. Today, I'm very excited to introduce the brilliant Tom O'Brien. But before I introduce Dr. O'Brien, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to get all of our variety of casts in audio, video, and transcription at humanizedhealth.com. I'd also like to thank our lead sponsor, Village Green Apothecary, at myvillagegreen.com. A little bit about our guest. Our guest, Dr. Tom O'Brien, is a recognized world expert on gluten and its impact on health. He is an internationally recognized and sought-after speaker and workshop leader specializing in the complications of non-celiac gluten sensitivity, celiac disease, and the development of autoimmune diseases as they occur inside and outside of the intestines. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. O'Brien.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
So obviously today we're talking about immunity, which is a very important topic, especially with the midst of a pandemic going around, right? And having a strong immune system. So I guess my first question I would say is a fever good or bad for you?
It's a really good question. So fevers are generated by your immune system. And what I want everyone to remember is that your immune system is the armed forces in your body. It's there to protect you. There's an army, a navy, an air force, a marines, a coast guard. We call them IgA, IgG, IgE, IgM. You know, I could geek out with you, but I won't. But they're different branches of the immune system to protect you. Mm-hmm. So what is a fever? A fever is when your immune system says, there's too much of this bacteria or this virus here. We need to ramp up the temperature a little bit because bacteria and viruses don't live in 101 or 102 or 103 degree temperatures. Fevers kill bacteria. Fevers kill viruses. So in general, yes, fevers are a very good thing. And there are so many studies that talk about this in the medical journals. Mm-hmm. You, of course, want to monitor a fever. You don't want it to be over 103 for a day. If it gets above that or if it's there for too many days, you might want to bring some support in to bring it down a little bit. But 101, 102, fine. Your body's doing its job trying to get rid of a bad bug that got in there one way or another.
Awesome. Okay, so it's working like it's supposed to.
That's right. That's right. Now, sometimes it can get stuck and it's like ramping up too high or it's not effective in getting the job done. Lots of reasons why that can occur. And then you need to bring in some extra help.
Right. But on a whole, it's actually working appropriately. So let's say we're running a fever, you know, we're a family and we obviously want to protect ourselves and build our immunity. Obviously, we can wash our hands to make sure that we're not giving it to others. But what else can we do to protect ourselves and our families?
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you've got a fever, there's something called the spleen pump technique. And it's just brilliant. This was published in 1952. And in a hospital setting, they chose, I think it was 70 people. And half of them, they were in the cardiovascular ward, the liver ward, the pediatric ward. And they had done blood draws on them and they saw what their white blood cell count was. And they did this technique where you put your hands underneath the rib cage on the left side. Right at the bottom of the rib cage, your hands are in the front and back. That's where your spleen is. Mm-hmm. And you just gently milk the spleen. You're just compressing the rib cage together just a little bit. Not very, with an infant, you're hardly moving at all. I mean, I've done this with newborns. It's extremely safe. But with adults whose rib cages are more rigid, you got to get in there and move it a little bit because the idea is you're milking it. You're just milking that side of the chest so that you're pumping the spleen. Hmm. They drew the blood on these people. They measured the white blood cell count. They did the spleen pump technique for 4 to 5 minutes. I think it was three. 3 to 5 minutes, really gentle. And if you're doing it to a child, they're just looking at you, goo-goo-eyed. You know, there's no distress whatsoever. And then they waited 15 minutes and they drew the blood again.
Right.
There was an average increase of 30% of the white blood cells in the bloodstream. 30% increase of the soldiers going out to fight whatever there is to fight. Why? Because your spleen's a reservoir. It holds extra blood. And what you're doing, you say, come on, guys, get out there, go to work. It's like you're giving them a kick in the pants. Go to work. Get out in the bloodstream.
Fight, fight. Yes.
That's right. That's right. So it's a very gentle, safe technique that any mom can do with a child, any partner can do with their significant other, their spouse, and it's always going to help. Sometimes this much, sometimes a lot. Mm-hmm. In my practice, I've knocked out 105 fever. My daughter, that's how I learned about this. You know, my first year in practice, and my wife called and said, our daughter's got 105 fever. I said, what? And I just canceled the rest of the day. I'm going home. And I went home, and my wife had been cooking dinner, but she turned it off because our daughter was sick. And I pick her up, put her on my shoulder, and she's just dead weight, just limp. Mm-hmm. And she's really hot. She called the pediatrician. Pediatrician hadn't called back. I'm walking around saying, where's that doctor? Where's that damn doctor? Wait a minute. I'm a doctor. What would I do? And I had just learned this technique the weekend before. Mm-hmm. So I did this spleen pump technique. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I just learned about this from Dr. Goodhart. And I'm just doing this very gentle technique. Pick my daughter back up. We're walking around. And when we walk through the kitchen, maybe 8-10 minutes later, I'm walking through the kitchen, and my daughter just leaps to grab the pot of spaghetti that she was really hungry. We just kind of looked at each other, and her fever was 99.
Wow.
And that's the first person I ever did it on. I've done it on hundreds of people now in the last 40 years. Very safe, very effective, never going to hurt anybody. Bottom of the ribs on the left side, nice big wide hand contact front and back, and just gently milk it a little bit. Almost feels like you're not doing anything, but it might help this much or it might help this much.
But how helpful. Oh my gosh, especially in the midst of a fever. That's amazing. I'm going to try that. Hopefully I won't have a fever, but I'm going to try that. Also, what nutrients might help us maintain a strong immune system?
Oh, really good question, especially during these trying times we have right now. And there's a few that a number of studies have talked about. The first one is zinc. Viruses have to get inside your cell in order to, well, they don't really reproduce. It's called shedding. It's kind of like dandruff, you know, falls off. So they're not reproducing, but to get more virus in your cells or in your body, the viruses have to get inside your cell. If they get inside the cell, the amount of zinc inside the cell determines if they shed or not. Mm-hmm. And there have been a few studies on this to show you have high zinc levels inside your cell, the viruses are suppressed and they don't shed, or they shed minimal. Mm-hmm. So you want to have enough zinc, somewhere around 30 to 40 milligrams a day, very safe amount. There's 18 different forms of zinc. Some are better than others, but any zinc is going to help. Just make sure you're getting some zinc. That's first. Next is vitamin C. Everybody knows that vitamin C helps the immune system. We've all heard that. For my entire life, I've heard that. And some people say you can only absorb 500 milligrams a day of vitamin C. Well, that's one study was published in the 1980s, and that's been disputed ever since. So I like to say if somebody weighs about 130 to 140 pounds, about 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. I take 8,000. It's just fine. And everybody's a little different, but it's very safe. But have vitamin C, have a good amount of vitamin C in your diet every day. It helps to support your immune system dramatically.
Okay.
Next is vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Now, with this current scare that we have, 790 people in one hospital setting that were admitted to ICU, they checked their vitamin D levels. If their vitamin D was 19.5 or below, every one of them died.
Right.
If their vitamin D was 31 or above, none of them died. So, you know, there's many different things that come into play in terms of how sick you get and how your body responds, but you just want to make sure your vitamin D level is robust. Mm-hmm. Now, not just normal, you want to be robust, and that's between 50 and 75 NGs per ml. And that's the classification system in the US, NG per ml. And mm-hmm. the goal is 50 to 75. And it usually means that you're going to have your doctor do a blood test for you for vitamin D. And if they won't, then just order the finger prick test. You can order it on my website. You poke your finger, put a drop on a card, send it off, and they send you the results. And it's extremely accurate. But find out what your level is now for you and your family. Mm-hmm. And if it's low, start taking vitamin D somewhere around 2,000 IUs for every 50 pounds in weight. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there is extremely safe. So if you weigh 150 pounds, that would be 6,000 IUs a day, right? Right. Do that for a couple of months, then stop the vitamin D for a few days and do a finger prick again to confirm that you've got your level up. Mm-hmm. If there's one test that's more important than any other test that I can think of, much more important than cholesterol every year, much more important is your vitamin D level every year. You do that. So we've got zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D. Next, the rainbow diet. Critically important that you eat all the colors of the rainbow in your food selections, because the colors are called bioflavonoids and polyphenols, sorry for the geek term, but they inhibit the virus from getting inside your cell. Mm-hmm. Remember I talked about the virus has to get inside your cell to shed.
That's and right.
If you have a diet high in polyphenols, the virus has a much harder time getting through the ACE2 receptor. But that's how the virus gets into the cells, the ACE2 receptor. Mm-hmm. The polyphenols sit in that receptor, so the virus can't get in. So eat red beets and red raspberries and green broccoli and green parsley and cilantro and lettuce and blueberries and purple cabbage, you know, all of those colors of the rainbow. It makes a huge difference in the long term in strengthening your immunity and giving you protection.
Awesome. And are there any other nutrients that you want to increase, not just maintain during times of to build immunity or if you're feeling like you're coming down with something?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, vitamin C is always safe. And for every patient, if they're coming down with something, I tell them to take 50,000 units of vitamin D once a week. Yeah, so they ramp it up. And we've never had a problem. It's extremely safe to do that. So vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A is really important for your immune system function, especially for the lining of your lungs and the lining of your gut. Having adequate amounts of vitamin A is really important. So for that, eating sweet potatoes, carrots are good. Carrots are high in vitamin A, but don't just eat carrots or drink carrot juice because you get too much of some of that stuff, right? So sweet potatoes are really great for that also.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thanks, Dr. O'Brien. These are really valuable insights. Tom O'Brien can be found at www.thedoctor.com. That's thedr.com. And let me remind you to subscribe and get access to all Humanized videos, podcasts, and transcriptions from all of our thought leaders on personalized health at humanizedhealth.com. Thank you very much.